Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Pastor Samantha and I are expecting great things for this year and our church family as a whole, and all of us individually as well. And you know, God has great things he wants to do in and for and through each and every one of us. And so we kind of kicked off last Sunday talking about that and talking about the fact that we are all made for more. God wants to do more in us. God wants to do more for us. And God wants to do more through us this year. And so we talked about one of the main ways that we can position ourselves. Now, even though God wants to do these things, we have to be in position for him to do those things. God can want to do something for us, but we got to be in position. God can want to do something through us, but we got to be in position, right? And so we said one of the main ways that we can be in position for all that God wants to do this upcoming year is by connecting with him. Everybody say connecting with him. And when we connect with him, one of the things where you say the Bible, you find out that people that connected with God, then all of a sudden they accessed and had available to them blessings, favor, guidance, wisdom, deliverance. Everything that they need in life happened because they connected with God. And all these things come through our connection with him. And, you know, we looked at the fact that when you just a quick sampling, but the woman with the issue of blood, she had a need in her life. She had suffered for many years, the Bible says, but she heard about Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the day I heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus and something inside of her motivated her to press through the crowd, right? And she wanted to connect and she wasn't going to be denied. Now, one thing I found out about women, Don't let them get something on their mind because they're going to make it happen one way or another, right? And I mean, if something's lost in the house, a man will give up, not a woman. She'll turn the house upside down. I told my kids, they said, where is it at? I said, I don't know, ask your mama. And if mama don't know, it's lost. That's the bottom line, right? But you look at this lady with the issue of blood, she knew she was made for more. She knew God had a plan and a purpose for her life. And it didn't include some of the things that she was going through. That's a good word for us, is that sometimes the things that we experience, that's not the will of God. But what was the will of God was her healing. And so she connected. She pressed through the crowd. She did some things to connect with God. She did some unusual things. See, under their culture, she was not supposed to be out in public. But she pressed through that. Then she had to get through the crowd, right? I can see this lady saying, excuse me, move. Excuse me, right? But she pressed through the crowd, and the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. We could say it like this, she connected. And it was her faith that connected to his resources. And it's our faith that connects with his resources as well. But she connected. And a couple of things that's so powerful about this is that she didn't allow obstacles to keep her from the connection. She didn't allow problems, setbacks, you know, things that come up. She didn't allow those. And I'm sure she was tempted, but she didn't allow those to stop her. Right. And as a result, she connected and went to a higher level. And then also you look at the man that was a paralytic, right? The man that they let up on the rooftop. He was paralyzed. Four friends. You know, I taught a message called Four Crazy Friends. Everybody needs four crazy friends, right? Because they were trying to get him to Jesus. Right. Well, they went in. And they couldn't get into him. They were trying to connect, but there was a hindrance. There was a barrier. But they didn't let that stop them either. Then they decided, we're going to take him up on the roof, right? That had to be faith on all of them's part, right? Then they took the roof off, and they did some, they changed their approach when the first approach wasn't working. And so then they went down and lowered him to Jesus, and then he was healed, right? But just like the one with the issue of blood, they could have allowed obstacles, setbacks, disappointments. I mean, they could have got to the door and say, well, we tried, fellas, but it's full, and went home. And went home the same way they came. But they didn't allow the setbacks. They chose to connect. And when they chose to connect, all of a sudden now, the resources of heaven were made available, which is what God wants for each and every one of us. Amen. So you look at these situations and we see that great things happen when we connect with our Heavenly Father. And if you were not here or didn't get a chance to access that sermon from last week, I highly encourage you to go back over, because we kind of set forth the vision of connecting with our Heavenly Father this year. Because I know there's things God wants to do in and for and through us. And it's going to come as we connect with him at a deeper and higher level. And so we're talking about some of the things today and been also in that message last week. And this is available online on our website. But we talked about some different areas. There's different ways that you can connect with God, but four critical ones is fasting, right? And sometimes people say, "Whoo, fasting, praise the Lord." Well, what is fasting? A simple definition of fasting is just giving up something that's valuable to you so that you can set aside time to focus on him. Okay. And we instinctively think of food and things like that. And that's certainly true. People gave up food and had water sometimes, or people gave up specific things. You know, it's funny because I believe it talks about Daniel, and it said Daniel gave up sweet bread, right? Well, I don't know anybody's going to give up bitter bread. That's not a hard thing to do, right? But it's the donuts that's the problem, right? But it's got to be something meaningful to you. And in our society, in our culture, it's things that can take our time away. So I think we could include also television, social media. Let me say that one again, social media. Because it's so easy just to keep scrolling. And then you scrolled away an hour and didn't even realize it. Right? Movies, all different things, hobbies, habits, different things. And again, none of these things are necessarily instinctively bad. But do we want to connect with that, or do we want to connect with him on a higher level? Right? What are we investing our time in? Because whatever we focus on, whatever we invest in, those are the things that's going to impact our life the most. Right? So we talked about fasting. We talked about prayer, talked about being in the Word. And one of the main things that Lord put on our heart this year is we have a reading plan. And so you can download an app that has a reading plan and you can check it off every day. It gives you the beginning of the books. As we're reading through the New Testament, basically a chapter a day, essentially through the New Testament. We're doing it together. And that gives us a systematic plan to keep us on track and read through, right? And, you know, the New Testament is God's covenant. All the Bible's inspired. But the New Testament is our covenant with God, right? It tells us what Jesus did, what we're supposed to do as a church, and it's for our time right now. And so that's where we need to spend the bulk of our time. Now, we definitely quote the Old Testament, and there's so many great lessons we can learn, and it's certainly applicable in so many different ways, but our focus needs to be on the New Testament, okay? So we're reading through the New Testament, and actually, you can go on our website for those who don't have an app. I know my dad, he don't have a smartphone. He's got a dumb phone. So he can't access the internet on his phone, right? But I'm not going to pick on you if you have one of those. But if you do, you can go to our website, and we actually created a PDF document that gives you our reading plan every day for the whole year. So you can join us. So turn to your neighbor and say, "There's no excuse." All right? But we'll join that reading plan. But that's a way that we can connect with him at a higher level, is being consistent in the Word, consistent in prayer, spending time in prayer, consistent at church, right? That's coming to church, but it's also more than coming to church. It's participating. It's applying what you hear. It's serving the Lord. It's serving one another. It's being a blessing. It's developing relationships. All those things are included as well. And so we discussed those things are ways that we can definitely draw closer to God. But this morning, I want to focus in on something that will help us draw closer, reach our goals, and improve our life. And often it's the difference between walking in the will of God and just going through the motions. It's the difference between walking in the will of God, fulfilling the perfect will of God, or just going through the motions. And that is focus. Everybody say focus. Focus many times is what's the difference maker between people who accomplish things and people who don't, because they're focused. How many of you know if you're going to get through school, you got to be focused, right? Many different things. If you're going to finish projects at work, you got to be focused, right? We, even talking with Joy, he was a firefighter for many years. If you're going to put out a fire, guess what? You got to be focused, right? You got to make sure that thing is out so it doesn't rekindle. So you got to stay with it until the job is done. Right? So there has to be focus. And so when we're focused, we're focused on connecting with him, then we can draw closer and we stay on track. Because one thing that I've discovered through life is that opportunities to take away our focus happen every single day. There are distractions that come. And so we have to choose to be focused and not get distracted. And when we are focused, great things happen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. Everybody say focus. Genesis 13, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. Now, let me give you just a little background. But God had spoke to Abraham, and he told him, he said, separate you from your family. Go to a land that I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to bless you and make your name great, and I'm going to make you a blessing. So God had already given this promise. And so now the Lord is showing it to him after that. That happened in Genesis chapter 12. Now we're reading in Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot has separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through it, its length, its width, for I give it to you. In other words, keep your eyes on it. Right? Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the Timnath trees of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now, in this passage of scripture, I want to talk to you about focus and what you can see, but there are several things that we can identify from this passage that are important. First of all, in the very beginning, notice the Bible says in verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, after, everybody say after, after Lot had separated from him. Now, that's curious because I don't think it's coincidental that God spoke to Abraham after Lot had separated. The reason is because Lot was not supposed to be there to begin with. God had told Abram in Genesis chapter 12 to leave your family and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And the next verse says, Abraham went and took Lot with him. How many of you know it? He was not following what God said. And as a result, you see that later there was tension and strife between Abraham and Lot. Well, sometimes we have self-imposed problems because we didn't follow direction. Right? He said, leave, go where I'm going to show you. And all of a sudden he took Lot with him, right? So Lot was not supposed to be there, right? And so sometimes, here's the problem. Sometimes, so God now, he gave him a promise, but then he kind of did what he wanted to do, took Lot with him. And now they separated because it was problems. And now God shows back up after he separated where he's supposed to be, right? And then God says, hey, look, you see all this? It's yours. Now, notice he didn't include Lot in it because they had already separated, right? And the reason that God showed up and said, Abraham, now look and see all of this. This is all yours. Is because sometimes we try to drag people with us that don't qualify to go where God's called us to go. Now, notice I said they don't qualify yet. They might be qualified or they might not. Right? But sometimes we're hanging on to things we need to let go of. Right? Amen. And so sometimes conscious separation is necessary before divine intervention takes place. Sometimes conscious separation is necessary before divine intervention takes place. Notice God said after Lot. Okay. Now, secondly, God said to Abram, he said, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. It's important sometimes that we're not so focused on everything around us that we don't see what God has called us to. What God has in store for us, right? He said, now, lift up your eyes now, look from the place where you are to the land, and you will see it, and I'll give it to you and your descendants. So in other words, if God gives you a promise, then you can possess it. God told him to look and see it. See the promise. So if you see it, and God has promised it to you, if you see it, then you can seize it. Okay? So God is letting him know, hey, this is what I've promised you. This is yours. Keep your eye on it. Keep focused on it because I've given it into your hands. Now, also the plan, purposes, and blessings of God are intended to be, this is powerful, but notice he said, if you see it, these things are for you and your descendants forever. So God was interested in generational blessings. So in other words, my focus isn't just about me. It's about everybody connected to me. It's about my descendants that come after me. So that's why it makes a difference, the choices that we make and the focus that we have, because other people are connected to you and they're going to be blessed as a result of your obedience. Amen. Now, what are we trying to say this morning? Well, keep your eyes focused on the plan and purpose of God. That's what he was telling Abraham. Hey, look, keep your eyes on this. This land that you see is yours. Okay. And so focus enables us to reach our goals. If we have some goals, our focus keeps us on track to reach those goals. Focus helps us to maximize our potential. You know, sometimes you see, I attempted to play basketball, but you know, you play basketball. I play basketball when I'm better than the person I'm playing. I try to play basketball when I'm not quite as good as the person that I'm playing. But one time when I was in college, I practiced with the team sometimes. And so there was a kid on the team. He was 6'5", played point guard, could handle the ball, shoot the threes, and jump out of the gym. Okay. I remember his name. And so this kid had phenomenal potential, probably one of the best players I've ever seen. Okay. And I've seen a couple of professionals that went to the NBA from where we came from. Well, this guy was phenomenal. I mean, I saw him shoot four shots from out of bound and hit four. He shot four shots out of bound, hit three of the four. Okay. But I also saw a guy that lacked focus. His dad owned the business. He played just to have fun, blew off school, didn't have opportunities come because he blew off school. And now, you know, he's doing great. But to me, this guy could have easily went to the NBA. I mean, I saw him drive down the lane and dunk over a 7-footer like it was nothing. I mean, leading that conference in scoring. But nobody's ever heard of his name other than me. Right? But what was it? A lack of focus. Or other things that he was focusing on. See, whatever you focus on is where you're going to go. Right? And we'll talk about that in just a second. See, wherever you place your focus, your mind, talents, emotions, and abilities follow. Wherever you place your focus, your mind tries to create things to cause it to happen. See how it's going to take place. Your mind, your emotions, your passion, everything follows what you're focused on, right? Your spirit, soul, and body become active to bring it to pass. Now, when I grew up, my dad liked NASCAR, okay? Now, I've never quite understood that. You know, you watch cars go around the track. If you like NASCAR, don't be mad at me. But you're just riding around 300 times, 400 times around us. It's like, I'm like, Dad, why are you watching it? And so, but he loved it. You know, he would tell you the different drivers and different things. And, you know, you'd watch these drivers and, you know, they'd put on their suits, you know, and I didn't realize it, but they're flame preventative suits, you know, and they got on their big helmets and they strap them in and lock them in, you know, to the cars. And these cars are going over 200 and some miles an hour around the track. And I mean, he would say, I'm going to watch this race. So I was trying to watch it with him, but after about two laps, I'm done. And I'm seeing 398 laps to go. Mm-hmm. So I said, but Dad, he would always watch the beginning and then he'd fall asleep. But I don't know how he did it. He had some internal clock that about two laps left in the match, he woke up. I don't know how he did it. He would wake up and he would say, oh, yeah, so it was a great race. I'm like, Dad, you missed 2 hours of it. But they would go right around these tracks. But one of the things is that every now and then you see them have an accident or they have a wreck. Right. Somebody hit the car or something. But one of the things that they do to train these race car drivers is that, you know, if you go into a spin, they tell them, don't look at the wall. Okay. Now we instinctively think, look at the wall, because we don't want to hit it. But here's the problem is, whatever you focus on is the direction that you go. So they're saying, they tell these race car drivers, don't look at the wall, try to find an open spot and focus on that. Then get your car leveled out so you can get back in the race. Okay. And so that's a great lesson for us, because sometimes we're going through life and we spin out. And sometimes we look and focus on the wrong things and end up hitting the wall because we put our focus on the wrong things. We're thinking about all the negative things that could happen instead of the promises and blessings of God that he wants to bring in our life. And we need to move over on this side and level out so we can go up. Amen. So your focus directs where you go. Amen. Even growing up, I did hunting. And so when you were hunting birds, you had to have focus. If you're going to be a good hunter, you got to have focus. And so those birds would be coming across, and you don't shoot where the bird's at, because the bird's going to keep going. But you got to focus and shoot, you know, shoot just about a foot in front of that bird if it's a dove. Okay. You shoot about a foot in front of that bird, then you can hit that bird. But if I'm looking at, you know, the color of the trees or the dirt or whatever else, I'm not going to hit that bird. Right. And sometimes we get distracted by everything else in life, and we miss the opportunities that God has before us. Amen. So whatever you set your mind on and focus on, whatever you set your focus on, your mind, will, and emotions try to follow that. Amen. And the enemy, this is important, because the enemy wants us to focus on the problems. God wants us to focus on the promise. God wants us to focus on his power to deliver, to bless, to help. But the enemy wants us to focus on the problems that exist, right? And so you think about the woman with the issue of blood that we referenced earlier. She had a lot of different things that she could have focused on. She could have focused on her condition. The Bible says she spent all that she had. She had no money. She went to a lot of different doctors. It didn't help her, but made her worse. So she could have said, you know what? There's no help for me. I'm broke. I don't have any money. There's not anything I can do. Right? She could have focused on the negatives instead of focusing on the positives. But God wants us to know you were made for more. Amen. Same thing with the paralytic man. He was tempted. He could have been tempted to focus on the crowd at the door, to focus on how am I going to get on top of this roof? Right? But he refused to allow things to hinder him from connecting. And we are all tempted to focus on the problems, the trials, the obstacles. Has anybody ever faced any obstacles? Trials, problems, setbacks, hurdles, mountains. Well, the good news is we serve a mountain moving God. So we need to get our eyes off the mountain, get our eyes on God and the promises of God so he can move those mountains out of our way. Amen. You were made for more. He wants to do more in and for you and through you. Now, it's so easy to focus on the negatives, isn't it? It's easy. I mean, we can think about it just ourselves, but then the enemy, he tries to come along and try to make it worse, right? But, you know, everything can be good, going good in your marriage, and then you're like, I'm just waiting on the next fight, right? Instead of focusing on the promises of God, becoming better as a spouse, doing the things that we can do. Everything's going good with your kids, but you're waiting on them to be rebellious. Everything's going good with your finances, but you're waiting for a bill to come in, right? We have to watch where our focus is, because our focus takes us in that direction. And we can easily become fixated on the problems instead of fixated on the promise. Okay? We can easily become fixated on the problems that we encounter instead of the promises that God has given us. Now, the good news is we can change our focus. Now, you can change your focus. I remember two illustrations, you know, but one time when I was a kid, I drove my car. I'm going to say this. I drove my car biblically. The Bible says that Jehu drove his chariot fearlessly. So I was just like Jehu. I drove my car fearlessly. Well, I had a Camaro. And so, you know what you do in a Camaro. So I was going down the road. Well, one time, you know, I'd go in these dirt, our parking lot at the school had a dirt thing. So, you know, I'd pull in there with that Camaro. Nobody's there. And I'd hit it, slide into the right, slide into the left. Right. Well, one time I got really nervous because I was on some ice. And so, you know, you can't go the way you want to go on ice, right? And so I was talking with the guy, and I hadn't had my Camaro long, but he had a Camaro, and he was worse than I was. And so he was driving his car, and so he went into a spin. It wasn't ice, but the back end of the car is sliding. We're in a major intersection. Okay. I only rode with this dude once, but that's the side point. And so God does give us wisdom. And so he said, I'm sliding, and all of a sudden I saw him. He turned the wheel to the direction of the slide. Okay. In my mind, I'm thinking turn this way because I don't want to go that way. But when you're in a slide, you don't turn the wheel to the way you're sliding because that continues to take you in the slide. But you turn the wheel the other way so both of your tires turn this way and it stops the slide. Okay. So he said, that's what you do on a slide. So I said, now I know. And I added that to my repertoire. But the point is you had to know what to do in the spin. You had to have the right focus. And when our lives are spinning out of control, we have the right focus. Okay. Focus on his promise. Focus on the solution. Focus on your faith. Focus on the power of your God to deliver you and to help you in the midst of it. You know, my son Andrew has a friend and he's a pilot. And so we were talking to him over at the house. And I said, okay, his name's Will. I said, Will, what happens if, you know, if this plane is just heading straight down, what do you do? He said, well, you gotta figure out what the problem is. Why is it going down? Right. And then you got to look at the instrumentation and then you got to get it not going down anymore, but leveled out. Okay. And then I said, what do you do? And then he said, well, you level it back up. Okay. So I thought that's good, you know, because as a pilot, you got to have the right focus. You know, you don't need to be looking at the ground if you're going down. You need to be looking at the instrumentation and trying to level that thing up. And then when you get it leveled, then you can go up higher, right? And sometimes we have things going on in our life that's taking us down, and all we can see is keep looking at the ground. And God is saying, lift up your heads. Look at the promises of God. Because if you look at his promises, he can level you out and then level you up. Everybody say, level up. Level up. All right. Now, many of the things that we're talking to you about this year in developing our relationship with God and connecting with him are areas of focus that cause us to keep our focus heading up and heading in the right direction. So, for instance, when we talk about worship and praise, when I worship and praise God, then I'm looking and focusing on God. When I pray, then I'm focusing on God. When I'm in his word, I'm focusing on God, right? When I'm fasting, I'm focusing on God. One of the areas is coming to church. When I come to church, I'm focusing on God. I'm focusing on his plan. I'm focusing on his purpose, right? And it's not just coming to church, but it's being a participant. It's being active. It's engaging in the life of the church. It's making relationships. It's making connections. Because all of us in here, we all have problems. I don't care who we are, how spiritual we think we are, right? We all face the same devil. We face the same situations, the same problems in life. You know, sometimes, you know, people come and they'll say, well, Pastor, I need counseling for this. I need counseling for that. And my wife and I have a saying, it's a same problem, different face. All the problems we face are human problems, right? But the question is, what are we going to focus on? What direction are we going to go? Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to call, right? We're calling on the Lord because that's where our help is coming from. And so as I focus on those things, then it takes me in the direction of help. It takes me in the direction of blessing. It takes me in the direction of provision when I focus on his sayings. So our focus sets the course of our life. And that's what we're talking about. 21 days of connection. Focusing on these connections. It's not just we're focused on it for 21 days, but you understand that this is so we can live our life with the connection. Right? It's so we can live our life. And so our focus sets the course of our life. We need to focus on God's plan, God's purpose, God's promises, and his plans are good. Jeremiah 29:11, my plans for you are good. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Amen. Now, write this down. Whatever you focus on today, whatever you focus on today, you give permission to exist tomorrow. Whatever you focus on today, you give permission to exist tomorrow. Now, supernatural things happen when we maintain our focus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 is the account of Peter walking on the water. And in Matthew 14, verse 25, it says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' But Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" That's always funny to me, because what's Jesus going to say? "It ain't me." "And so he said, 'Come.' And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Now, when Peter kept his focus on God and his word, a miracle took place. When Peter kept his focus on God and the word. And look at this. It was only one word. He just said one word, "Come." But there was enough power in that one word from God to cause him to transcend natural law. A miracle took place. This man walked on the water, right? He operated in the supernatural realm because he focused on the word of God. However, he lost his focus. And when he lost his focus, look at this. When he lost his focus, things began to change. Okay. Now, fortunately, Jesus in his mercy reached down and grabbed him and helped him. So even when we mess up, we got divine help. Amen. Now, the Bible is full of examples that encourage us to keep our focus on the word of God and the promises of God, not what we see. I think a prime example of this is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. But we're talking about maintaining our focus. I started to say focus. Maintain our focus, right? With Numbers, God had promised the children of Israel. He said, "I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to bring you into the land that's flowing with milk and honey." And so Moses sent out spies into the land to check out the land. And so they brought back some of the produce from the land. And surely it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And everything was good until they said this, "But there are giants in the land, the fortified cities in the land." God had already promised them and told them, "I'm giving you the land." But they changed their focus from God and his promise to what they saw. And as a result, the Bible says they brought up an evil report. An evil report is what is opposite of what God said. See, here's the thing. They saw God's word. They saw God's promise. But when they focused on the giants and the cities, they lost focus of God's power and his promise. And then two of them had a different attitude, man. They maintained their focus. Caleb said, "Look, don't worry about that. We are well. Let's go up. Let us go up now. We are well able to take the land." Right? He was focused. He maintained. Here you can see two clear things. Here's the power of it. Both of them had the promise. One of them kept their eyes on the promise. One of them got their eyes on the problem. One of them moved into the land. One of them didn't. See, focus sets the direction of your life. And so we can't be distracted by the problems, the situations, the setbacks, the obstacles that come. We have to keep our focus on him and his things. I like what Caleb said. He said, "We are well able to go up right now." And so focus on and talk about what God's word says, not on the problems. And Numbers 13, verse 30, the Bible says, "And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said," I like that. It says in the Bible, polite. It says, "And Caleb quieted the people." I can see him saying, "Hey, y'all, shut up. Let us go up at once now and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Right? They focused on the promises of God, not their predicament. right? And so we have to be careful. But one of the things we have to realize is that they got distracted because of the giants and because of the fortified cities, and they lost sight or focus on the bigness of their God. And the moment that we allow the problem to become bigger than our God, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. But he said, no, 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 keep your eyes on him. Caleb said, keep your eyes on him. Now, after they went through this wilderness, we know they went through Caleb went in and possessed the land 40 years later, right? Because he kept his focus on God. And I love this. Look at this last verse in Ephesians chapter 30. I'm not Ephesians 30. There's no Ephesians 30. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified. And I want you to understand that God has the power to help you, deliver you, and guide you through whatever challenge you may be facing. Whatever the challenge is. I mean, God brought people out of lions' dens. God brought people out of jail. God delivered people from sickness and disease. And God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Amen? But notice this, Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. Now, it's a little hard to read in the beginning, but the power of it hits. Listen, now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work, listen to this, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. The God you serve is able to do superabundantly whatever you could possibly think. That's what he wants to do for us. And so we want to encourage you this morning, keep your focus on God's plan, his purpose. Focus on connecting with him. Keep your focus on his word. Focus on what you need, not what your problem is. Focus on your healing, not your sickness. Focus on his promise to prosper you, not your bills. Focus on your deliverance, not your oppression. Focus on the bigness of your God, not the temporary nature of your problem. And as we deepen our connection with him through prayer, fasting, being in the word, being in church, active in church, we can train ourselves to focus on his things. And when we focus on God and his promises, then you connect with all the resources of heaven that transform your life, your family, your business, and everything connected to you. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.